Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in God's Word, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and the chapter 10. And as the Lord would enable us this evening, we might consider together verse 13, where the Apostle says, "But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, perhaps there was no greater evangelist than the Apostle Paul. He went forth to the Gentiles and he preached the gospel. And what success he had. Through him, churches were planted in many towns and cities across the Mediterranean area. What was the message that he preached? What was it that transformed many people and ultimately transformed these societies? Well, you could say that really it was the same message that he preached every time. But of course, as he preached the truth, the way he presented the truth varied. In Athens, you'll remember, he spoke of how they foolishly worshipped the unknown God. Well, he said, "I'll tell you who this unknown God is. He is the living God, the maker of all things. And he is the one who commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world through the man whom he has appointed, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus." Repent was his message. There's a day of judgment coming. At other times, he pointed to the fact that Christ was the way of righteousness for sinners. And so, for example, in this passage, he speaks of the fact that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, or is a way of righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's only through him and what he did that sinners can be made righteous and accepted with God. There's times when he focuses on the fact that it is by grace that we are saved through faith. There were times when he simply said to people, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And here, as he writes to the Romans and speaks of God's plan of salvation, of how the gospel is presented both to Jew and Greek, that it's the same gospel to all, he puts it this way: "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a simple message, friends. That all who would cry out for mercy to God through Jesus Christ, who would call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Friend, is that the message that you who have come to Christ seek to present to others? Is that the message, friend, that you have responded to yourself? What sort of response have you given to this call? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's consider this and notice three things. First of all, the one upon whom we are to call. And then secondly, the nature of the call we are to make. And then thirdly, the assurance which is given to all those who make this call. First of all, the one upon whom men are to call. Who is it that sinners, who is it that you are to call upon for salvation? Well, we're told here in the text, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, who is this Lord that you are to call upon? Well, is he not the divine Lord? That's the first thing we notice. The one whom you are to call upon is the divine Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus is none other than the divine Saviour, the Messiah. And in what Paul is doing here is quoting Scripture. And specifically, we have a quotation from Joel 2:32. And there is this prophecy that in the last days, the Lord would restore Israel, that the Saviour would come, and that whosoever calls upon the name of Jehovah shall be saved. Friends, do you see how often, in a quiet, indirect way, the New Testament witnesses to the divinity of Christ? Those who deny the deity, the divinity of Christ, are plain wrong. They distort the Scriptures to their own destruction. You should not listen to them. You should not doubt the deity of Christ. And there is one text which shows this is true. Because we are told that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The whole context is one of those who are calling upon the Lord Jesus. And the quotation used to back this up is one which speaks of sinners calling upon the name of Jehovah. Who is the Lord Jesus? He is none other than Jehovah Jesus. And you see, here is the one who alone could deliver sinners in the last days. The divine Messiah. That is who you are to call upon. The one who is God, who became man. The one who came from heaven. So there's even this reference about bringing Christ down from above in verse 6. There's no need to say in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? He's speaking of things which appear so impossible. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. He has already come down. He is the Lord who came from heaven. Now friends, it's important for us to remember the God, the Lord, who we are to call upon for salvation, is divine. Because were he not divine, he would not be able to save you from your sin. Were he not divine, then you would be without hope. But you see, because he is the divine Saviour, because he is the mighty Saviour, the life-giving Saviour, and the one who, because he is God, is able to lay down his life for others. And is able to provide a righteousness for others. You can have confidence in trusting in him. You see, you and I are debtors to keep the law as God's creatures. But as the one who is divine, he is above law. And he had voluntarily made himself under the law. Why? To take the place of his people, to provide a righteousness for them, so that he could keep the law in their place. So here he is, the one who can give his life for others, because he is the divine Messiah. And he can provide a righteousness for others because he is a divine Messiah. And that's why you find, time and time again in the Scriptures, the divinity of Christ being defended. You think of John, of how he spends much time in his first letter defending the deity of Christ. He says, if you don't believe he's the Son of God, you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter what you believe. The same with Paul writing to the Colossians. You see, only thus can we call upon. Only thus have we the right to pray to him. It's a divine Lord you are to call upon. And as you see him as God, who became man to save, that should encourage you to have confidence in him. Perhaps we are used to seeing him as a divine Lord. But remember that many of those whom Paul was writing to were Jews. Many of those whom he spoke to at times were Jews, because he tended to go to the synagogue first when he evangelized, and then when they rejected the truth, he went to the Gentiles. What a big thing this was. A divine Messiah. Jesus being God and man. And as you and I see that, we can have confidence in him. You'll notice he's also the righteous Lord. You see, there's no point calling upon Christ if he is not the righteous Lord. How is the sinner to be made right with God? That was a big problem that Martin Luther had. He felt himself a rotten sinner to the core. And whatever he did, it couldn't take away that feeling of guilt. And where did he find hope for his soul? Was it not in Christ and his righteousness? Paul speaks of Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That is, he fulfills the law. He keeps it perfectly. And not only does he keep it perfectly by his perfect life of obedience and his death on the cross, he endures what sin deserves. And it's only as he is righteous, it's only as he fulfills and satisfies the demands of the law which are upon you and I as God's creatures for a perfect holiness. And yes, for having endured the curse of the law for our sin, it's only as Christ does that that he can save. Friend, you're to cry out to the one who dies in the sinner's place. You're to cry out to the one who has made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You cry out to him saying, I need that righteousness. I need that holy, perfect life. And I need that offering for sin that he was to be my way of dealing with my guilt and the condemnation that is upon me. Are you looking to him as the righteous Lord? Have you seen him as the end of the law as a way of righteousness for all who believe, so that for those who trust in him, God's law makes no more demands upon them when it comes to being righteous with God? It makes no more demands, because God uses people as righteous, as perfect. Are you looking to Christ? Are you calling upon him that you might be justified through his work? That's who you're to call to. The righteous Lord. But you'll notice he is also the risen Lord. There's no use crying to a dead person. Sometimes people talk to those who are dead. They might go to the cemetery because they truly grieve their loved one. And they might even talk to their loved one there, but it's a foolish thing to do because they've gone. Sometimes you find even at funerals people will actually speak to the remains as if they're there. But of course, the person's gone. That's why the loved ones grieve so much. They know they have gone. There's no point speaking out to those who are dead because they do not hear. They cannot respond. They cannot help, they cannot save. But you see, Christ has risen from the dead. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Who is the one who we cry out to? Who is it that you're to cry out to? The risen Lord. Do you see him as the risen Lord? We gather today in the Lord's day because he is risen, but do you see him as such? Oh, how important it is that we see him as the risen Lord. You know, that's the proof that he's dealt with sin. Because if he was still in the grave, he would still be suffering the consequences of sin for his own and his people's. But the grave could not hold him because he had exhausted the curse. That's why Paul can say that he died for our sins and he rose again for our justification. He rose showing that sin had been dealt with. That the curse of God, which was due to the sinner, which he had borne in the room in the place of his people, he had exhausted it. He had drunk the last drop of the cup of God's judgment against sin. That's why Rabbi Duncan could see that the resurrection was like God's receipt. You think of when you buy something from the shop, you get a receipt. And sometimes it's very important to hang on to that receipt. It's a guarantee if someone challenges you at the door of the shop, have you been shoplifting? No, I've not. There's the receipt. There's the proof of purchase. Well, what was the resurrection? The God's receipt showing the curse had been exhausted. Satisfaction had been made. That's why it's so foolish for people to deny the resurrection. Paul could see, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. We are yet in our sins. We get no hope. But here's the proof that when he cried, it is finished. It wasn't the cry of someone who was saying, I give up. But the cry of someone who was saying, I've done it. I've accomplished salvation. He is the risen Lord. That's who we call upon. That's who you have to call upon. You see him as a divine, righteous, risen Lord. You think of who he is, and you call upon him. But can we not also say he's the sovereign Lord? Whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved. The word Lord, doesn't it mean master? And you'll notice in verse, of how he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What did he confess? Jesus is Lord. He is master. He is the sovereign over all. But not only that, he is my master, or I will take him to be master. I'll acknowledge him as master. Who is it you're to call upon? The one who is the sovereign master. And you're to acknowledge him as such. The one who has the right to rule. And the right to rule over your life and my life. Well, have you called upon him? What does it mean to call upon him? Notice secondly, then the nature of the call they are to make. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, surely what we have here is an intelligent call, a thoughtful call. What What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? It means to stop and to think about who we are calling upon. You see, we've got the language here of prayer and of crying out to someone for help. And it's not a thoughtless plea. It's not a vain groping in the dark saying, oh, I hope someone's going to help me. I hope that person can help me. It is a clear, distinct, thoughtful call upon the name of the Lord. You see, true faith is based on knowledge. It's a very foolish person that trusts someone they don't know. I'm sure you wouldn't trust everyone with your car keys. There are many people you definitely would not trust with your car keys because they may not be able to drive, or else you know you would never see your car again. You need to know who you're entrusting them to. And it's only because you know that they are trustworthy that you entrust them with your keys or whatever it might be. In other words, they need to be worthy of confidence. What is it to call upon the name of the Lord? It is to see that He is worthy of my confidence. Perhaps part of your problem is that you have never really called upon the name of the Lord because you've never paused to see that He is worthy of confidence. And what must you do? You must consider who He is. And it's as you consider who He is, it's as you get clear views of Him as the divine Lord, the righteous Lord, the risen Lord, the sovereign Lord, then you see, yes, He's worthy of my trust. Because I can see now, He is able to see. Friend, you need to get to know Him. You need to get to know Him. And you will never have true faith until you get to know Him. Because true faith involves knowing Him. And it's because you know Him, you know about Him, that you will therefore trust Him. We must also say that this call is a heartfelt call. It's so easy to pray and not pray. To draw near to God with our lips, with our hearts far from Him. To go through the motions. Perhaps we've learned to say prayers when we were young. A good practice to learn to pray. And yet it's so easy to do it and not to think. We did what we always did. Whether it was at night committing ourselves to God before we go to bed, or perhaps saying, giving thanks before our food, and yet at the end of the day, it was just words. It was just hot air coming out of our mouths, and it never went through the ceiling because we were just going through the motions, saying certain things. That's all you were doing. You see, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart, there's not just with the mouth, there's with the heart. In other words, to call upon the name of the Lord is to sincerely cry for help. It's to mean it. It is to feel that need and be stirred in our heart to seek relief from Him. Friend, have you cried out to God in that way? Have you called upon the name of the Lord from the depth of your heart? That's what you need to do. Can we not also say it's an entrusting call? An entrusting call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the call of someone who is poor and helpless. The one who is able to help. Now think of a beggar in the streets. He might be begging, and he's just, well, he is looking for help, and yet he doesn't really believe most people will help him. Sometimes you and I can be like that. We can have a problem. We can ask someone to help us, and we can be fairly confident that the last thing they're going to do is actually help us in the situation in which we are in, but we feel we should ask them anyway. That's not what we have here. The ideas of someone who is poor and helpless, who is going to someone who is able to help, and going to them with expectation and with trust. True faith involves trust. I not only know certain things about Christ, I've heard about it, but I agree. These things are true. They are right. I assent to the truth. But it leads me to trust in Him. It leads me to rely upon Him. It leads me to look to Him to save, conscious that no one else can, but He is able to. Friend, have you entrusted the salvation of your soul to Him? Have you called upon the name of the Lord for salvation, saying, Lord, save me, looking to Him because you know that He is able to save, looking to Him because you know that He is one who is willing to save, calling upon Him, asking Him to save, expecting Him to save, not because of anything in yourself, but because He promises that those who trust in Him shall be saved. Are you relying upon Him? You see, there's a great danger of knowing that Christ is the Saviour and agreeing that Christ is the Saviour. And yet there's a need to be converted and place your trust in Him. And you know all these things, but yet you have never actually called upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. You have never entrusted the salvation of your soul to Him and said, look, you look after that. I cannot care for my own soul, but you are able to save it through what you have done, through your death on the cross. Have you fled to Christ and taken Him to be your Saviour? You must. Without that, for all that you know, you are not saved and you will remain unsaved, undelivered, in danger, until you entrust your case to the Lord Jesus. Notice this is also an unashamed call. There's a danger of someone trying to trust, calling upon the name of the Lord, and yet not really being open and honest, and it leading to a change in their life. You notice in verse 9 he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The confession with the mouth might not seem much to you, but think of the Jews. For a Jew to confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, to say Jesus is Lord, that was a mammoth thing, a great thing. What a confession it was. To outwardly acknowledge Jesus is Lord. That was the result of a revolution in the thinking. And it showed a whole change of outlook and a change of lifestyle to say Jesus is Lord. Before, having heard of this Jesus, he might have been ashamed to acknowledge him as a Jew, and certainly have no time for the idea that he could do anyone any good. But now, when a change has come about, he is Lord. Friend, and calling upon him, that of call you're to me, is that call where you come and you deny self and you take up the cross and you follow him. You're saying, he is Lord and he will be the Lord of my life. And I will acknowledge that he is Lord and that he has the right to rule me and that he has the right to see how I should live. And I will turn away from sin and I will seek after holiness. It's a call that involves denying self, taking up the cross, and following him. Friend, have you called upon him? Have you as yet done so? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Surely you need to. Surely you must call upon him. Why will you not call upon him? You'll perish in your sin unless you call upon him with that intelligent, heartfelt, and trusting, unashamed call. I'll have him as my Lord. I'll have him as the Saviour. And I will rely upon him. I look to him to deliver me. Well, for your encouragement, that you might trust in him, notice thirdly the assurance of salvation to all who make this call. The assurance of salvation to all who make this call. Notice there is certain assurance given. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He doesn't say, well, if you call upon him, he might save you. Is that a case of like someone saying, well, go to that man there. He might be able to tell you who lives in that house you've been asking about. Or perhaps you're going through one of the villages here and you're trying to work out where a person lives. You don't know. Someone says, go and ask that person. There's a good chance he'll know the one you're looking for. Will you go? And you hope he might be able to direct you to the right place. But sometimes you go to the house and what do you find? Oh, sorry, I'm new here. I haven't a clue who lives there. Or they get it wrong. They're confused. But that's not what you have here. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no doubts here, friends, is there? There's no doubts. He shall be saved. For all who truly call upon, they are assured. But the apostle here, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they shall be saved. And therefore, as you focus upon who this Lord is, as you focus upon the one who you are directed to call to, you will find that you will be given the confidence to call upon him as you see who he is, as you really grasp a hold of who he is. Then that will stir within your soul that confidence it should. Yes, he's able to save. And therefore I will call upon him. And you'll notice what is promised. The salvation, we're told, is the salvation of the God who is rich unto all that call upon him.
There's no doubts. He will save. And he will save with a rich salvation. He will enrich those who call upon him with all the blessings of salvation. Is that not why he became poor? That those who trust in him might through his poverty become rich. And he showers the blessings of salvation upon all who call upon him. Friend, call upon him. What does God's word say? That if you call upon him in faith, you shall be saved. And therefore, if you have called upon him believingly, entrusting the key, your peace to him, you are saved. Those who truly call upon him are saved. And you should take him at his word and believe what he says. You see, there's even a difference between being saved and feeling saved. You can picture someone out in the Minch and they've ended up overboard in a storm. And perhaps they're brought into the boat to feel rescued, but because the storm is so great, they feel they're not safe, though they are safe in the boat, but they don't feel safe. Those who call upon him are saved. And even though at times they may not feel saved, because sometimes they're looking to themselves rather than to Christ, those who call upon the name of the Lord in faith, they are saved. That's what God's word tells us. Notice there's also here a universal assurance given. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're assured, it's not only a certain salvation those who call upon him, but that whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. Friends, isn't it wonderful? God addresses you and I with the words, whosoever. You see, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. Well, whether it's race, whether it's people's intelligence, or whether they're rich or poor, or important or unimportant people, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And then in that wonderful word, whosoever, you have your warrant to come to Christ and to believe in his name. Whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You see, but wait a minute, what about the doctrine of election? Friend, that is a scriptural truth. But you must not put one scriptural truth over another. And never in scripture will it tell you, if you feel you are elect, you may come to Christ. You will never read that in scripture. But what will you read? Whosoever calls upon his name shall be saved. It doesn't say if you feel yourself elect, call upon him and you shall be saved. It says, whosoever calls upon his name. So what should you do? You should call upon the name of the Lord. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, you have upon God's word that assurance, you shall be saved, whoever you are, who calls upon his name, whether Jew, whether Greek. Friend, here is your responsibility tonight, then, to call upon his name, to see your need of him, and to cry out as a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, to the one who is able to save you from your sin. It is sinful not to call upon him. You add greatly to your condemnation by not calling upon him. But he that should want to go to him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, what have you done with the gospel? What a glorious message. What a glorious person the Savior is. What a glorious deliverance he gives. Who does he give it to? To all who call upon him. Have you called upon him? Have you really cried out in mercy, looking for deliverance? Friend, if not, do it tonight. For today is the day of salvation. And God surely demands that you give submission to Christ, friend, for the good of your soul. Cry out to him. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us pray.